Welcome to AUSA's Army Matters. I am Nzinga Curry.
And I am Major Brad Cooper.
And together, we bring you Army Real Talk.
Hey ma'am, did you hear? This is a first for women in the space community. NASA will have their first all-female team to conduct a spacewalk on 14 March.
No, I did not. Tell me more.
So there's a Lieutenant Colonel, Anne McLean is her name. And yes, the Army has astronauts. And another woman by the name of Christina Koch. They'll be the first all-female team to conduct a spacewalk, and they're part of the Expeditionary Team 59 that's going up to the International Space Station. That'll be conducting some missions throughout the next couple months. But in the NASA community, this is a big deal because this is the first time that an all-female team gets to go out on a spacewalk and conduct their mission.
That is really cool. And that is right along the same lines of what we're going to discuss today, Women's History Month. Major Cooper, we had an awesome time visiting the U.S. Army's Women's Museum in Fort Lee, Virginia. Wouldn't you agree?
Totally agree, ma'am. Definitely a great visit. Something that every soldier in the Army needs to go visit down there at Fort Lee. What I particularly liked was when you first walk into the museum, you see these five life cast white figures of women, and each one represents a different period of time for women's history. The life casts go from, you know, the Revolutionary War to the Vietnam era, all the way down to the 21st century Army. And those life casts definitely set the tone for the entire museum.
And we had an opportunity to visit with Dr. Francois Bonnell, the director of the museum. And here are a few things we discussed.
Ma'am, did you know Dr. Bonnell? A lot of great things as well. So I'm truly excited to be here. So she was a reservist for many number of years in the Ordnance Corps. So go Ordnance. She's also co-authored a book called Capturing the Woman's Army Corps, the World War II History Photographs of Captain Charlotte McGraw. It's on Amazon if you guys want to take a look at it. But here at the Women's History Museum, she's been a director since 2010. She's taught at various colleges and universities over the last 30 years. And you could probably truly say that she is the leading expert in the Army on women's history. So ma'am, as you gave us the tour here today, and thank you again for taking your time for that, I saw some cool displays near the Global War on Terrorism. Can you tell us some about the first female to receive the Silver Star since World War II, Leanne Hester, and her backstory?
Yes. During Operation Iraqi Freedom and Enduring Freedom in the early years of those wars in 2003, 2005, 2007, there are lots of examples of fearless men and women on those battlefields. I would say that a lot of the changes that will come about in terms of the roles of women that we see today in the Army are attributed back to those heroic efforts as well. In fact, Sergeant Leanne Hester is a good example that you bring up of this. So Sergeant Leanne Hester's story and the story of the Raven 4-2 ambush in 2005 is a great example of heroics across the battlefield by men and women in the Army. Sergeant Leanne Hester was a team leader in a 10-man squad from the Kentucky Army National Guard. And they had been very well trained by Staff Sergeant Nine, their squad leader at the time. And they responded that day to an ambush that had been put in place by the anti-Iraqi forces. They came upon that ambush and they themselves were ambushed as well. Mm-hmm. And over the course of the next 15, 20, 30, 40 minutes, a firefight broke out between the anti-Iraqi forces. This squad was outgunned and outmanned by the enemy. But through their heroics, through their fast thinking, and through great leadership on the part of that team, they were able to defeat that enemy. I had the opportunity to do an oral history and to meet the team members when they came here for the opening of a large exhibit we did for them. And I remember asking Sergeant Nine, the squad leader, you know, as you were sitting on atop the vehicles and you're trying to very quickly figure out how you're going to react, and you ordered one person to stay on the gun on top and the other one to jump out of the vehicle and into the gully with you, did it ever occur to you that the person that did that would be a woman, would be Sergeant Leanne Hester? And he said, no, absolutely not. He said, we were a team. We trained that way. It didn't matter if it was a man or a woman. The bottom line is we had a job to do. And whoever followed those orders, I knew we would be able to succeed. And I realized at that point that this wasn't just a case of only heroics on the battlefield of men and women, but it's also a reflection of a truly integrated army mm-hmm. in which decisions are not being made based on your gender, mm-hmm. but simply based on how you're trained and the needs that you had. Mm-hmm. And even trying to put that exhibit together was difficult because Sergeant Leanne Hester reminded us multiple times that the only way she was going to participate in that exhibit and in the telling of the story of that particular day was if it included the history of the whole team. Mm-hmm. Because she repeatedly said it was not about her as a woman, it was about her as a soldier. And that's mm-hmm. the way she wanted to make sure people understood that history.
Very, very nice. So one of the things that I found very interesting is the different uniforms over the years that women were assigned. Could you enlighten us a little bit about the women and their uniforms throughout their service or throughout the years of service?
Well, it's interesting you bring that up because I must say with all the soldiers that we have coming through our training programs here at the museum, most often it's reflected, especially by female soldiers, and how interesting it is that there are so many different types of uniforms. In fact, in that time period, 1942 to 1978, uniforms were an important part of the image of women in the Army. It demanded and it called for respect. It was very important that women were properly dressed and within the regulation, mm-hmm. and the uniform reflected that as well. So many of the uniforms that you see in the galleries reflect the time periods, the colors, the fabric, etc. So it was interesting one day, a couple years ago, the collection manager here, Ron Bingham, and I decided that we would count how many uniforms there were that women had worn between 1942 and 1978. Mm. And quite frankly, after about 50, we stopped counting. And so these are uniforms, PT uniforms, day uniforms, evening uniforms, any number of uniforms through the times. In fact, when WAC veterans come through the museum, they oftentimes will tell you the stories about those uniforms, what they liked and what they didn't like. Mm. And so it is kind of interesting now that the newest uniform that's going to be issued, the pinks and greens, of course, everybody asks, what's the pinks and greens, but coming back to that uniform, because out of all those uniforms that most women will talk about as veterans, that was one of the most popular okay. uniforms okay. in terms of utility as well as being comfortable.
Absolutely.
Well stated. I agree. Very good. So one of the things that you discussed in our tour was cultural support and female engagement teams. And I believe you were talking about during the time of Iraq and Afghanistan. Could you elaborate on that?
So lots of changes take place on the battlefields of Iraq and Afghanistan that lead also to the policy changes. That is the opening of all of the positions to women in the Army. Some of that begins with the work that women such as Sherry Womack, working with a special forces team, did in the early years, 2003, 2004 in Afghanistan, through the women who volunteered to become part of the female engagement teams and the cultural support teams as well. So it's really the dynamics of the battlefield, the asymmetrical battlefield, with some very specific cultural norms for which the opportunity for women to serve in an expanded capacity comes about, that is for Army women. Mm-hmm. So the women who are parts of these teams, they serve all over the country on isolated bases as well as in larger units. And their job is to engage, literally, that portion of the population that their male counterparts, the male soldiers, can't because of those cultural norms. In a society that forbids a woman to speak to a male who is not a member of her family, means that a portion of that population cannot be engaged by our own Army. Mm-hmm. So the women on the female engagement teams and cultural support teams provide a very unique and important part of the larger scope of what they're doing on the battlefield. Mm-hmm. So whether they're participating in shuras, which are meetings between local populations, or helping local women to create businesses, or they are gathering intelligence, that work has become indispensable. Mm-hmm. So the work of women on the battlefields of Iraq and Afghanistan, in particular, the work of women in the cultural support teams, as well as the female engagement teams, demonstrates that when called upon, women will stand up to do the work that's needed of them. And that in itself leads to greater opportunities as well. In a way, yes, they might be proving themselves, but they're also proving that the institution, the Army as an institution, is also accepting of what those roles are. And that leads to progress and change also for the role of women.
Absolutely. Excellent. So, ma'am, on top of all these great exhibits here, you just recently went through a renovation. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes. So many of the policy changes that have taken place over the last 14 or 15 years, including the rescinding of the combat exclusion policy, the opening up of positions, and finally also, of course, opening up the last of the MOSs that have been closed to women, really prompted the museum and the staff here to think about what we were interpreting and how we were interpreting it. And so a few years ago, we decided that probably the storyline needed to be rewritten to a certain extent, brought up to date to include the last 30 years, and in particular, the last 15 years of war. And so the museum went through a physical expansion as well as a complete redo of all of its exhibits. So where the museum had dedicated about two-thirds of the space to about a third of the story, because it originated as the Women's Army Corps Museum, our goal here was to better balance that and also to provide the relevancy to the public, to the students, both in uniform as well as out, and to also provide an opportunity to tell more of the stories and display more of the objects that we weren't able to before because of the size.
Awesome. And then can you also tell us about the educational aspect of the Women's Museum, the outreach that you guys are doing through your educational program?
So we're very proud of the expansion of our educational programs over the last decade. We have thousands of soldiers, as well as many civilian entities, as well as K-12 programs. We support civic organizations, either through outreach by sending speakers or creating a presence somewhere, or by having them here at the museum. We have a broadcast studio that allows us to take the story that's here in the museum and all of its wonderful aspects of that and to project it literally across the world. We're very proud of the reach that we have, as well as the contributions we make to our community.
So to our listeners out there listening today, if you guys want to know more about the Army Women's Museum, look them up on the website at www.awm.lee.army.mil. I encourage you guys, if you guys are in the Petersburg, Fort Lee area, to stop by the Women's History Museum and take a look at all the wonderful and great exhibits that they have here to offer and listen to the wonderful stories that Dr. Bonnell and her staff is telling everybody.
Dr. Bonnell, thank you very much again for inviting us to take a part in the tour of the museum, as well as having this conversation with you joining the show.
Thank you, ma'am, for your time, your expertise, and your true patriotism. Please keep up the good work teaching the younger generation on how important it is for not only for women's history, but for equality across the board.
And sharing the stories.
And sharing the stories, which is awesome.
Well, thank you for that opportunity. And thank you for visiting.
Listeners, as you can see, we had a wonderful visit with Dr. Bonnell at the U.S. Army's Women Museum. Be sure to subscribe to the Army Matters podcast on iTunes and everywhere podcasts are found. Keep it locked in here for all Army Matters. And for next week's episode, enjoy Family Voices.
AUSA is the U.S. Army's professional association, a voice for the Army and support for the soldiers.
For more information about AUSA or to become a member, visit AUSA.org. And listeners, be sure to have a beautiful yet productive day.
Oh.